around, and some people even wanted to go out and pick up the fish. They didn't know this tsunami was coming. The elephants knew. And you read the stories that the game reserves were right adjacent to the beach. All of the animals knew, and they moved away. Well, they saved their lives, but the animals knew ahead of time what the average human being didn't understand. And the same is true today with what's going on financially. Only we're facing a tsunami, a gigantic financial tsunami that I think is going to sweep away much of the world as we know it. And most people have no idea what's coming down the line. Cal Grunwald, thanks so very much for being with us tonight.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always good to be on your show.
Well, tell us your take on what's going on. Certainly this last few days, why we've seen a dramatic turn down of the price of gold and silver and platinum and palladium, and it's almost as if somebody was intentionally manipulating the market. Do you have that feeling?
Well, yes. I mean, it's obviously the world is fleeing into gold increasingly, and now the governments and central banks again have stepped in. Rather dramatically to drop gold again and silver and all the precious metals, all the metals. And again, it's all just a psychology move because, you know, people have been watching it. Gold got up to 573 and then dropped down to 539 and it was back up to 567. Now it got pushed down again and now it's at 545. So the government is desperately manipulating it downward so that it doesn't become, you know, extremely visible so that people will start buying it. And once Americans start buying gold, they're going to flee financial institutions to do so. And then the control that the banks, the money market managers, and Wall Street have over people is going to be broken, and they don't want that.
And I think it's so important to realize that there is a cabal, and it works through our government, it works through the Fed, it works through the Treasury, it works through some of the large banks and many of the brokers, and they call it the plunge protection team. And, of course, they actually manipulate the price of stocks and many of our important commodities. This has been going on for a long time. If you were right to do it, why we'd go to jail when they do it. Why, of course, this is simply market stabilization. And they use these terms, but the truth of the matter is they're manipulating the stock market because it's all about perception. It's how we look at it. When the market's going up, we feel good. When the market's stabilized at 1,100, we feel that things are pretty good. When the market turns down, everybody gets pessimistic. And I think that it's going to happen sooner or later because as we see what's going on in the world, why we see that the Fed is raising interest rates, and that slows the economy. The Germans and the central banks of Europe are raising interest rates. The Bank of Japan is raising interest rates. And this is happening because they've got to slow down the economy. They know that. But then they can't, of course, let the people understand what's going to happen. The tragedy is whenever this happens, sooner or later, why people begin to lose their jobs. They can't make the payments on their homes or on the businesses or on the farms, and of course then the banks collect on them, they go into default. It's happened 100 times since America was created. I think we're on the verge of it happening again. What do you think, Cal?
Well, definitely so. And of course the media is telling us that, you know, we've turned the corner and now it's an upturn, and you know, everybody should be relieved that we're out of this pseudo recession, and it's all this all propaganda. The interesting thing, I was talking to a mechanic this week, you know, about the economy and telling him what the major media was saying. He says, I know. And he said, I've got a friend in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He said he goes downtown Milwaukee. He said he's never seen bread lines, soup lines, as long as the, you know, they are now in front of the churches. They're just down the block. And he said he was just shocked, you know. So all this propaganda about things, you know, turning around are just a rouge.
Well, you know, I think if you look at the government statistics and they tell you all the jobs that they're creating, the truth of the matter is figures don't lie, but liars figure. If you read Paul Craig Roberts, is one of my favorite columnists, who was at one time Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, has headed a number of think tanks, has written a number of books, certainly has been at the Hoover Institute and other very prestigious institutions. In fact, we had a wonderful opportunity to interview him just within the last week. And he said the government statistics just are not accurate, and really what they're doing. They tell you about all the new jobs. They don't tell you what the jobs are. about half of them are government jobs, and the other half are waitress, bartender, health industry, but no manufacturing jobs. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were just talking about the job statistics that the government puts out, and almost no manufacturing jobs. Oh, you can go in the military, that's a job. You can, of course, go to work as a bartender, as a waitress in the health industry. But there's a very, and of course, government is always hiring people. But it takes, I forgot the exact figures, but you have to increase, I think about 150,000 jobs a month just to keep up with the increase in population, new people coming to get jobs, and we're just not making that many jobs. And the government is coming up with statistics on inflation that just are not true. According, I believe, that Paul Craig Roberts, and don't quote me on this, but I think he said the real inflation rate was probably closer to 8%. They're just juggling the figures, and anything that goes up in value, they take it off of the scale. So, look and see what's happened to the price of gas and oil and all of these things. Well, they just don't include those in inflation. And look at what's happened to the price of electricity. Well, they just don't include that. What about health care? And it goes up 10%. Oh, well, that's not the things that we look at. We look at the things at Walmart. They're not going up in value. They juggle these figures because they don't want you to know inflation is probably 8 or 9% or more. Because that means the value of your currency is going down that much, and that is what the government is stealing from you every single year. So pick up the story there, Cal.
Well, I had wanted to tell a very interesting story that I just had yesterday while I was on an airplane coming back from Wichita, flying into Chicago, from there to Green Bay, and then, of course, I live in Shawano, Wisconsin, which is a small town 35 miles west of Green Bay, but I sat next to a man who, and I struck up a conversation. He turned out to be a portfolio manager for a huge bank. I won't give the name of the bank. I'm not trying to discredit anybody, but we'll just leave that out. But he said he just was coming back from a trip from Las Vegas, where he was meeting with two of his clients. And they used to be in the area in Wisconsin. Now they live out in Las Vegas. And he's a portfolio manager for the upper 1% income bracket people. And so he was telling me a little bit about this one lady. She wanted this gentleman to buy a Porsche for her son. So they went and found this special Porsche that was worth $60,000-$70,000, and she was all happy about it. And then there was another lady that wanted a 500 horsepower Bentley that cost about $160,000. So he was looking for one of those. And he said one of his clients, has to have $1 million liquid, just $1 million liquid. And of course, I was listening to all these things rather interestingly because I've talked to portfolio managers before in the past. And they've all been pretty steady. That is, they've always recommended 10 to 20% of a person's net worth in gold and silver. They call it rock. Heart is a rock. And I was just kind of listening to him to see where he was going to go with all this, and I was going to ask him a question. So I said, well, don't your clients ever ask about, gold and silver? And he kind of looked at me funny. He said, no. I said, well, portfolio manager, and I told him, portfolio managers for years have recommended 10 to 20% of a person's net worth in gold and silver. And he said, well, they never bring it up, and I never bring it up. And, so I said, well, do you realize that the dollar has dropped over 50% in the last 3 years, and the Fed is determined to drop it another 20, 30%? And he said, well, no. And, I just thought, was he just playing dumb, or is he just, does he know these things? And I thought, as you were telling your story about the tsunami coming and the elephants, taking off, it's my experience has been, as I've been on your show and other shows, but as I've been talking to people, it's the common people who have understanding. It's spiritual to me, but people who understand spiritually, understand physically, they see the danger coming, they know it's coming, they might not be able to see it on the horizon, but they just know inside that, they, they are taking heed to alternative shortwave and radio, the programs like yours, you know, that are telling the truth, not the major media. And they're doing something to get out of the way. But here's a man that's, you know, managing millions and millions and millions. And some of these probably are billionaires that he's managing their money. They have absolutely nothing to fall back on, and he's telling them nothing about it. I mean, he was a very, very intelligent man. He didn't refute anything that I had to say. But when you take money out of his hands, you're taking his commission out of his hands. And so when people buy gold and silver, it's money that he can't manage anymore. So, I mean, obviously the man was leading people down the wrong road. So what remedy did these people have? You know, they're going to get caught by the tsunami. They're just going to be caught flat-footed. All their wealth, everything else is just going to get washed away in the devaluation of the dollar when it collapses. And that's, you know, when you were telling that story, I thought, what an interesting parallel to what I just experienced.
And I think that's really so true. I think that all we need to do is look and see what's happening throughout the world. As Norway has announced that they're going to stop dealing with American dollars. And, of course, as you know, they're one of the largest oil producers in the world. Certainly Venezuela has a very close alliance with Iran. And if we attack Iran, why, Venezuela is threatening to stop using the American dollar and to stop selling us oil. And then, of course, we know that certainly that both Iran and Syria are moving out of dollar-pegged assets, and I think that we're going to see that tsunami beginning to loom in the horizon, because there seems to be very little question that the Bush administration is doing everything possible to prepare for an attack on Iran. Now, I'm sure they would probably prefer if they can topple the government, if they could kill the president. There's always already been at least one unsuccessful assassination attempt on Mr. Ahmadinejad, boy, that's a real tongue twister, but that's his name. But they've already killed somebody. Just happened to accidentally assassinate the chief of the military there. But Iran is preparing for war. They believe we're going to attack, and they're doing everything possible to invite the attack. And number one, as you know, they're going to be opening this special market. They call it a browse. That will be an oil market that will deal explicitly in euros rather than in dollars, which is a direct attack on the American currency and America's financial system. So why would they do something like that, you know, at this time in history when there's already tremendous pressure from the United States and from Israel, obviously, to justify an attack on Iran? And the truth of the matter is there are people there who really want an attack on Iran because they think that will lead to chaos, will lead to great conflict and horror, and that will usher in the coming of the Mahdi, who they've been waiting for since the departure of the 12th Imam back in the 9th century. You say this is crazy. Why would anybody want a war? We're not dealing with rational people. We're dealing with people who have an irrational religious belief, and unfortunately, they may very well be drawing us into exactly what they want. But think of the implications, because if there is a war, believe me, there'll be terrorist attacks on America. What do you think would happen to our stock market under those circumstances? And all the plunge protection teams in the world wouldn't be able to rescue our stock market, and with that, of course, the value of the American dollar. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, again, it's a very real danger, because I bring that up quite a few times when I talk to people, that if you're trusting the financial institutions with your wealth, you're trusting the wrong people, because, you know, if they've got 100% of your wealth, it's first of all not real wealth, because it's a number on a computer chip or a number on a ledger, and it's under the control of somebody that doesn't care for you. And, you know, if we have a terrorist attack, I should say, if when the next terrorist attack comes, either a legitimate one by some foreign entity or else the government orchestrated one like 9-1-1, the government can easily just close the bank doors, tell the banks to shut their doors, because people are going to panic, and they're going to run on Wall Street, they're going to run on the banks. Well, they've got the keys, they've got the switches, so they just flip the latches and call the banks and say, shut your doors, and then whatever is behind their doors is theirs, and whatever is in your hand is yours. So, you know, I'm really pressed for people in more ways than one when I talk to them. First of all, because know, gold and silver are rising so dramatically, and there's a severe shortage of gold now in the world. And secondly, coupled with that is just the world turmoil, as we were mentioning. Not only the falling dollar and countries rejecting our dollar, but the possibility of an imminent terrorist attack when the government can say to the institutions, just shut your doors. So people who are awake and are listening and really are concerned about, you know, their families and their loved ones are starting to do something about it by, you know, preparing. You know, they're getting food and medical supplies. They're in a rational, sane fashion. They're not panicking, but they're buying gold and silver, and they're just getting ready. They're sitting on the sidelines, and those are the people that are going to survive and going to escape, you know, the major calamities that are coming. And it's going to be the foolish people who trust in their wealth, these multi millionaires and billionaires who get led down the wrong road.
Well, because I think an awful lot of the major millionaires and billionaires are investing outside of this country. We know that certainly George Soros has done that. Bill Gates has done that. Warren Buffett has done that. Warren Buffett is worried to death about the whole derivative market. There are somewhere between $3 and $4 trillion in derivatives. Now, remember, the entire M3 of the United States today, that's all the money that there is in checking accounts and in these various assets, is only about $10.3 trillion right now. And yet, of course, we're talking about a worldwide, the derivatives between $300 and $400 trillion. The money doesn't exist. It's all imaginary. And of course, once this whole thing begins to unravel, why it's going to lead to disaster. And as Warren Buffett has said, derivatives, why they're financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent but potentially lethal. Well, Cal, go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, derivatives are something I've never understood. The simplest definition of a derivative I've ever heard was it's a bet on a bet.
It's a debt on a debt. I mean, that's probably as good as any at all. I remember when it was long-term capital, and they had, I don't know, maybe $100 million, and then they borrowed money on that, so they had stocks or bonds worth $1 billion. But you know, they really didn't have them because it was all built upon the money that they had borrowed to buy the bonds, and then of course they leveraged those bonds, you know, up another 100 times, and so they were dealing with $100 billion or more based upon the existence of $100 million. And of course, when this whole thing began to unravel, they threatened the whole stability of the world monetary system. And this is, I think, what really one of the big things, when the derivative market begins to unravel, many of our major banks, many of our major investors, many of our major hedge funds, and many of our major corporations are simply going to find that they are covered by derivatives that they think will protect them. They don't. There are no commodities out there that they think they bought, and the whole house of cards is tumbling down. That, I think, a debt on a debt is a good explanation. Doesn't make sense how you could have a debt on a debt, but then derivatives really don't make sense either.
No, and the thing, people are trusting banks with the banks. In 1929, the banks had 21 cents on the dollar on deposits for withdrawals, so that at least there was something there if people wanted their money. Today, the banks have less than 2 cents on deposit for withdrawals, and the Federal Reserve is about 1.22 cents on the dollar, so they're even worse. They don't, of course, you know, they have nothing to do with the government, and they have no reserves, so it's all just a big rouge that, you know, to fool the public into believing that their money is safe behind those doors. And of course, the same thing holds true with the stock market. There's nothing secure about that. You know, it's all just fake or imaginary money. So the real people that understand these things are doing something about it. And as I tell people who are sitting there wondering, you know, when is all this going to happen? When is it going to unravel? And of course, nobody knows. We can see the black clouds coming, but I just tell people better to be 3 months early than 1 day late. So if you know it's coming, you better do something about it, because your whole family's financial security is at stake. So that's why I I offer a package of information for people to send. I also have now a website that's up and running. Before it was just kind of a construction page, but now it's a complete website. It's nothing complicated or elaborate, but if people want to go look at it, it's www.goldandsilverexchange.info, I-N-F-O, info.
Now you were going to send me, or at least fax those reports about what happened back in the 30s as far as safety deposit boxes. Did you ever get those together to send them to me?
Yeah, in fact, I was going to do it today, and I was involved in meetings, and I thought about it so many times. And in fact, I'm looking at it right here.
All right, well, I'll
get it to you tomorrow, but this is the actual page. This is part of my information package, and it's very, very interesting. It's actual pages out of the 1933 New York Times, March 8th, 1933. It says, New Banking Rules to Date. And then it says, Washington, March 7th. The summary of the banking regulations thus far issued by the Secretary of the Treasury follows.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Cal Grunwald. We're talking about the banking regulations back in the 1930s, and he actually has a clipping from the New York Times. What's the date on that, Cal?
March 8th, 1933.
Why don't you tell our listeners what that clipping says? Because it's talking about the new banking regulations, and this is about the time that FDR closed the banks. Go ahead.
Yes, he declared a two-day banking holiday, and then he called all the gold in. And the first there were 14 new banking regulations. The first one says, authorizes banks and reserve banks to make change, but withholds gold and gold certificates. Number two, opens safety deposit boxes and safes. And three, permits return of cash, checks, and so forth, which are unentered, received after last closing of business hours. It says permits cashing of government checks, but withholds gold and gold certificates. And then it goes on, there's another 10 or 11 of them. But the second one, open safety deposit boxes and safes. That's what they did. And they robbed people of their wealth, whatever it was, whether it was gold, silver, precious metals, diamonds, you know, whatever it was, gems, they took it all. And in fact, they tell a true story. In my paper, I've got a 26-page paper that I offer, too. It's entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. It tells a true story that I heard from an old-timer who went through that period of time. He had a good friend who was a multimillionaire who had a lot of precious stones and gold coins in his safety deposit box. After Roosevelt declared the banking holiday, and they opened the banks again, he came back to the bank and he looked into his safety deposit box. It was completely empty. And he went to the bank president, and he was a friend of his. He said, what happened to my valuables? He had $1.4 million worth of gems and gold and things in that safety deposit box. The bank president says, I don't know. The man went home and committed suicide. True story. And in the last 4 years, I've talked to three individuals who were missing things out of their safety deposit boxes. So if you think that your things are safe in a bank, you got another consideration coming.
Well, they're really bad. They're safe as long as times aren't bad, but unfortunately, they can do that sort of thing. I know friends of mine who were in Portugal when the communists took over there. They were living on the Azores, and the wife tells the story of after the communist takeover, she went to the bank and said she'd like to get into her safety deposit box, and the teller smiled at her. And he said, why, certainly we'll be glad to get you into the safety deposit box, as his head was moving from side to side as he was shaking his head no. So she got the idea that, she wasn't supposed to go into the safety deposit box. And that was because they had a communist there. When you opened the box, he would look inside if there were gold or precious metals there. They would simply take them out. And they seized everything out of the banks. Now, this would be in the early 1970s. So this sort of thing does go on in any totalitarian country. And people say, well, that could never happen in America. But what happens if there was a financial crisis? If they did it in the 30s, couldn't they do it again? And I would like to suggest that they not only could, they are planning on it. Joel Skousen has written extensively about this in the World Affairs Brief. And I would like to suggest that All we can tell you is we don't know what's going to happen, but be aware of the fact that there are people, very, very powerful people, who want your wealth and want to impoverish the American people, and there are going to be an awful lot of people like the people sitting there on the beach, who are watching the tide going out, watching the fish flopping there on the sand 100 feet offshore, and some of them even ran out to get the free fish. And, of course, they were swept away when the tsunami arrived. Well, go ahead, Cal.
Another thing that I'm offering, too, is, of course, I wrote my paper on the exposing the scams in the coin industry, because unfortunately, the coin industry is unregulated, and it attracts a lot of charlatans and people that aren't honest. Another thing I'm offering in my information package is a copy of the fine print from a major gold coin company, and it basically, it's right there if you want to read it. It just tells that these brokers can charge any kind of commission that they want on certain coins. They don't have to disclose it. They say that you're going to charge 30%, but then in the fine print it says they can charge whatever they want on certain coins. And then what they do too is they have an offer, like for a free half dollar. If you send for the offer, they send you a half dollar, then you become one of their clients. They don't tell you this. But then if you order over the phone, you have no recourse. If you say yes over the phone, they tape record your voice and that you said yes, and it's legally binding. So you cannot back out of it. They just entrap people.
All right, we'll hang on there. We'll be right back in just a moment with Cal Grunwald. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, and we're talking about what's really going on. Do we really face the possibility of a banking emergency? Bart from Carmel says the Bank of America employees have been notified that in case of an emergency, the Department of Homeland Security officials will seal safety boxes, and not let gold or guns out. That's one of our regular callers. We know him. I think he's reliable. And we've heard this from a number of sources. If any of you would like, as I say, Joel Skousen has written about this sort of thing. Be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. The elephants are trumpeting. The animals are moving towards the high ground. And most people are just sitting on the beach watching the water recede. Go ahead, Cal.
It's very interesting. There was another story, actually true. I've probably shared this before, but there was a ferry boat going from mainland across the strait there, and there was a bad storm, it was capsizing. It capsized, and most people on the boat they panicked, and they just did things that were just totally contrary to their own survival, They just disrupted everybody. Most people just sat there and did nothing. They went down with the boat. There was only just a few people that actually did something productive, and they did some statistics on it, and they determined that 85% of the people on the boat did absolutely nothing to save themselves. There was about 12% that did something actually contrary that would jeopardize somebody else's life. There's only like 3 or 4% that actually had their wits about them and did something to save somebody else, and that's usually that has been the percentage of people, 2, 3, 4% at the very most, who will see something coming, perceive the danger and get out of the way so they can protect themselves and their family. This is what I see when I talk to people on the phone. It's just common people that have. They have a very acute, understanding. They see what's happening. They are taking steps to get out of the way. They're doing things to prepare for their family's survival. And for me, it's a real joy to talk to people, our listeners on your show, because they're just about all just sensible, down to earth. They know what's going on. And you don't have to, you know, try to convince them that, you know, these things are happening because they already know it.
Well, I think that it's important that people understand that we are entering a period of chaos and a crisis. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. And Cal, would you like to get your telephone number out and your website? So if people would like to get in touch with you and get those various free things that you offer that they can.
Yes, my phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. My website is www.gold and write out the word AND, goldandsilverexchange.info. That's goldandsilverexchange.info. It's a real simple one.
All right, fine.
And I'll be glad to send you my packet of information. It's about 37 to 40 pages. It's a lot of reading, but it's very informative, and there's some articles out of the, again, the 1933 New York Times and Roosevelt Confiscated Gold. It's tremendously interesting history. I've got an article on the Fort Knox Gold that's not there anymore. There's another three-page document called the Emergency Banking Order. There's some articles out of the USA Today about a fiscal hurricane coming, the pension funds being fundamentally broken. We've got that printout of the fine print of that one gold coin company that was dumb enough to put all those things in there, but it's a very interesting package, and in my paper, that 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry, it covers everything from a history on gold, why it's important to own gold and silver, the practicality of how to barter with silver, how to barter with gold, who should buy gold and silver, all the different scam techniques these companies use. So even if you don't buy any gold and silver, but you want to educate yourself, used to be a teacher, so I know how to put things in a kind of very, very simple way for people to read and understand. I'd be glad to send you this package of information. And again, my number is 414-234-8267.
Well, now, if there's anybody out there in the listening audience who would like to call us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And then, of course, if you look at the various things that we're talking about, first of all, you have to understand that the pension funds, whether the private or the government, are really all in trouble. I mean, certainly many of our major corporations are finding ways just to back out of their pension funds. The federal government does not have any adequate money. In fact, the federal government now is going to borrow from the pension fund that was set aside for government employees. The Social Security fund, there isn't any. They've spent the money. The same is true with the Medicare fund. It has been estimated that the Medicare and Social Security fund, combined with our national debt, brings it to about $70 trillion. And this has been actually figured out. Well, there isn't that amount of money in the world, so there's no way that the people who are expecting their pensions down the line are going to get them. We have a massive budget deficit. We have a massive trade deficit. We have the derivative problems. We have rising cost of energy with the price of oil now between 60 and 70. And believe me, if we have a conflict in the Middle East or a major catastrophe, why, that price will shoot up to well over $100 a barrel. We have the war in Iraq, which is draining our finances. We have what's going on in New Orleans draining our finances. We have the globalism planned program of shipping our jobs, our factories, and our wealth overseas. We have a housing bubble that's beginning to implode. And those are just a few of the things. And as the price of housing goes down, all this artificial wealth that's been created, and this expectation, people actually using their houses like a piggy bank and borrowing money on the increased value. But the difficulty is, of course, that the value is always a matter of perception. The house isn't any more valuable than it ever was. It's just that people have been willing to pay more because of this tremendous liquidity and because they could borrow the money. But those days are coming to an end. And all across America, the sale of houses is beginning to drop off. And, of course, in a few places, the prices already begin to come down. We are on the edge of a financial catastrophe. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our and here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Cal, what do you think that people should do at this time in history?
Well, again, those who are able to see should consider taking some of their discretionary money and putting it into gold and silver. And again, I have a very practical approach that I explain in my paper. First of all, I recommend silver, like 90% or what they call junk silver. Those are the dimes, quarters, and half dollars that were a legal tender up until 1964. I recommend that a household have like a bag of silver, and that's 55 pounds of these coins. And those are the ones you're going to use for barter when the currency collapses. And I give a very kind of logical, practical explanation of how one could determine the price of any one of these coins, you know, on any given day, as far as their value, as far as their purchasing power. All you have to do is multiply the silver content of that particular coin times the price per ounce of silver on any given day. And so silver is very, very practical for that. And you know, I don't recommend people buy the bars or the blocks or the ingots, because they're very impractical. What are you going to do with a 10-ounce or a 100-ounce bar of silver? Are you going to use it for barter? It's impractical. And again, it's not about making money with silver. See, silver and gold have appreciated about 120% in the last 6 years. In 1999, for instance, gold was at $252 an ounce. You know, the bankers manipulated it down that far. And now gold is $545, you know, so it's gone up 150-120%. It was up to $573. Silver was at $4.35 an ounce in 1999, and it hit $10.23 the other day. Now it's down to $9.90. You know, again, they're manipulating that too. But the point is, the reason these metals are going up so fast is because the world is fleeing into them and buying them, because the world knows that they're valuable.
And, of course, certainly the people in China understand a lot more about finances than the people in America. The same is true of the people in Japan, the people in India. And remember, between China and India, why, you've got almost half the world's population. Certainly. Let's go to Michael, who's calling us from Chicago. And hi, Michael. How are you doing? Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening on shortwave or the Internet?
Shortwave. I've got a good shortwave radio, thank God. I don't have Internet.
That's all right, as long as you're listening. I don't care how you listen.
By the way, you're coming in really good. But I had a comment.
Well, go ahead.
You know, the stuff you're saying is really, you know, really good. You know, kind of, you know, put away a little bit of gold and silver. And also in the magazine Coin Age, they're talking about if you're going to want to buy gold and silver, pretty soon you're going to have to furnish identification and all this other stuff, and they're going to be keeping track of it. So if people are going to be, you know, buying some gold, silver coins, do it fast, okay? And best way is to do it over the counter at a coin shop. This is what I have found. And also, people need to be prepared to defend what they have. Okay, hello, are you still there?
We're still here, Michael.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you had to be prepared to defend what you have, okay, because, like, around here where I live, quite frankly, you got a lot of, and you may not like this, but there's a lot of black gangs that they will take from you what you have, okay, and, you know, there's drug gangs and everything in this area, Northside, Evanston has a gang problem. And people need to be prepared to. It's not enough to put the stuff away, but be prepared to defend what you do have. Okay, I mean, I do not have all the answers, but you know, I listen to you guys like every night, and I thank God you're getting the word out. Okay.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, Michael. And, Christy, we tell people about preparation, gold, silver, water filters, having food on hand, having medical supplies and vitamins and all the things they need, but also be prepared spiritually. And they all go together. We should work as if it's up to us and pray as if it's up to God, because without, of course, His protection, we're not going to get through what lies ahead.
Well, I agree with, you know, like pretty much everything you're saying, okay, and we can only do the best that we can, and, but, you know, again, you know, people, you know, it's a big broad picture, And like the thing with the gold and silver coins, the best thing is to do an over-the-counter transaction at a coin dealer if you're able to do that, if you have something like that in the area, because pretty soon, from what I'm hearing, you're going to have to furnish identification and everything else, because the feds are going to want to keep track of even what you're buying.
Amen to that. Okay, thanks very much, Michael, and God bless you.
Okay, God bless, and for heaven's sake, keep up the good work, because I listen to you guys every night, okay?
Hey, thanks so much. It's pretty late back there in Chicago. A couple of hours later than we are, so good night. God bless you.
Take care.
How would you respond to what Michael had said?
Well, I know what he was getting at. I talked to an old timer a couple of years ago, and maybe I've already said this on the show, but he said, Kev, you know that there are three precious metals? And I said, pardon me? He said, well, yeah, there's three precious metals. He said, there's gold, and there's silver, and there's blue steel.
All right, fine. Of course, by blue steel, you mean may have to defend yourself. And what a horrible thing to think about. And yet, of course, in countries throughout the world, people really do have to defend themselves. There really are terrible people out there, a lot of wonderful people. But unfortunately, when law and order break down, as we saw, for instance, in New Orleans, why, then you begin to have gang violence and you begin to have the looters. And so you're going to have to be prepared to defend yourself and defend your family. As terrible as it seems, we need that. And, of course, these people who want to disarm the public, believe me, people like, what was the name, Roseanne or something like that. She had armed bodyguards. So many of the politicians who want to disarm us, they have armed bodyguards. It's just simply the common folks they want to disarm. But, of course, if they really think that weapons create problems, then let's disarm the police. And then, after that, we can try to get the criminals to give up their arms as well. So, anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And don't think for one minute I'm really serious about disarming the police. We need the police. We need people who believe in the Constitution and, of course, will defend it with their lives, as I hope that we will one day as well. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, Cal, what form should people think about getting the gold in? Should they get it in these 1 ounce bars? Should they get it in gold coins, Kruger Rands, Austrian 100 Coronas or 50 Coronas or whatever they are? Should they get it in Swiss francs? Should they get it in perhaps some British sovereigns? Should they get it in the conventional American gold coins, the gold eagle or the silver eagle?
Well, again, there's a lot of gold coin companies out there that are recommending these foreign gold coins, and what they do, and this is one of the things that I expose in my paper, is they misrepresent them as private, non-confiscatable, because they're minted prior to 1933. You're talking about a British sovereign or a French franc or Swiss franc or German mark. They misrepresent these coins, which are nothing more than bullion. Now, bullion doesn't have to be just a bar or a block or an ingot. It can be a coin, like our American Eagle. That's a bullion coin. Like the silver eagle is a bullion coin. And it's just simply gold or silver minted into coin form for convenience of holding, handling, things like that. So I don't recommend foreign gold coins. One person had a very astute observation years ago when he said, well, he bought some foreign gold coins that were, again, misrepresented by a coin company. They put huge markups on them, and that's what I'm totally against. And he said, well, I can't even read the inscription on the coin. So when you try to use it on the street or try to use it as a barter down the road, people are going to say, what's this? How do I know this is real gold? I can't even read the language. And I thought, well, that was a pretty good observation, because when the currency collapses, we're going to go into economic chaos, obviously, and the whole concept of having gold and silver coins is foreign to everybody except those who understand, and that's the vast minority, as we've already pointed out. So you've got to have something in your hand that, even though people might not have seen it before, they're going to recognize.
All right, well, I think certainly the American silver coins are important. What about the smaller denomination gold coins, like a quarter ounce or a tenth of an ounce?
Well, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with, one-tenth ounce like American Eagles or quarter ounce. In fact, whenever I sell bullion, which isn't too often just because of, the risk involved being confiscatable, but I sell the one-tenth ounce like American Eagles or Maple Leafs or Trigger Ants simply because they're small coins. And they're going to be much more usable than the bigger ones. Now, just so happens that these 10th ounce coins, you can just about impossible to get them anymore. And the premiums on them are so expensive that, it's just really not worth it.
You mean they're not minting them now, or there's just such a...
Well, no, it's not that they only mint a certain number every year, and I don't know what that number is. All I know is that the demands for these small coins is so intense. But a lot of times you can't even get them.
What about the quarter ounce? Are they have a premium on them?
Yeah, they do. As you go up in weight, half ounce or 1 ounce, there's not that much premium, but they're getting harder to get.
Well, now what about the silver coins? I would have thought they would have run out of the 90% silver coins a long time ago, and yet, of course, they seem to keep coming up with new bags all the time. Are some people selling them and keeping them?
Well, yes. See, again, a disservice that I think is not good at all is some of these coin companies are talking about the upside potential of silver is like 7 to 10 times, as opposed to gold, which is like maybe 4 or 5 or 6 times. Which no doubt is true. For silver to get $50 to $75 an ounce is not unheard of. Because in 1980, silver hit $53 an ounce. For gold to get $2,000 or $3,000 an ounce is not unheard of either. But gold being over 500 now to get 2,000, it multiplies 4 times.
Well, of course, the thing is that silver hitting $53 an ounce in 1980, and the dollar's worth about a third of what it was then. So,
yeah, very good.
Certainly, the silver could go to $150 or even $200 an ounce under the proper circumstances. Is that out of all bounds, or is that possible?
No. That's very realistic, because you just compared inflation rate, basically, back in '80 compared to now, and, if a dollar, if it's 20 cents or 30 cents on the dollar, now it's going to be, it's accurate what you're saying. So yes, the upside potential is there. But again, it's not about making money. It's about having something that's practical. So you've got to look at a situation where we've got economic chaos, and not only economic chaos, but physical chaos. People are going to be, looting and ravaging and, running from here and there. And if we have to leave someplace for safety, you have to be able to take with you what you have set aside. Well, if you have 4, 5, 6, 7 bags of silver, each bag weighs 55 pounds, how are you going to transport it? It's not practical, so it's not about making money.
Let's get your telephone number up one more time.
414-234-8267.
Well, the hour just flies by, as it always does. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, again, I just want to emphasize that it's so important that my approach to owning gold and silver is very practical. And again, people have told me that. I'm just saying that I recommend, like a bag of silver. You can get a half a bag or a quarter bag, whatever you can afford. That's first and foremost. Once you get your silver in place, you can think about, buying gold coins. Now, again, the coins that I recommend the most are these old $10 and $20 liberties in the low grades. Now, I recommend those for several reasons. First of all, they're private, non-confiscatable, and secondly, they have a tremendous upside potential. Again, I'm not talking about making money. I'm just saying if you have to or if you want to sell them, during periods of severe demand, and their history has been just 1999, these coins were selling for double what the price of American Eagle was. And a lot of people did sell them and make a lot of money. So if you have to for some emergency, you can do very well on them. But those coins are, and everybody recognizes them, even though you've never seen them. You got the eagle on them, the Liberty head. I mean, it's all there. They're very easily recognizable as the 90% of the junk silver with the dimes, quarters, and half dollars. I recommend a mixture of those three kinds of coins in that bag of silver, because they'll lend themselves to any kind of barter situation that you might get into. So, very practical approach. I kind of lay it out in my paper, and I'll be glad to send that paper to anybody that asks, and I'm glad to spend as much time on the phone that you want, just talking about finances, talking about, you know, what you might want to do. I'm not high pressure. I can't stand it. I've never done it. I used to be a teacher. So I do everything through education. And I said, look, here's the facts. You know, if you have to decide on your own what you want to do, it's your family, it's your money. But just presenting alternatives is very important for people, because a lot of times we get into talking about things that people don't even realize, and opportunities or possibilities that you might not know even exist. I'm talking to one client who has about $30,000 worth of palladium, you know, about 6 years ago. Well, palladium is an industrial metal. It's worth a lot of money, but no, it looks like silver, but, you know, silver is $10 an ounce, and that's $300. So if, you know, she can convert that into gold coins or silver coins, that's a very, very wise move. But palladium, you're never going to be able to use later on, because no one's going to accept it.
All right, we're going to have to let you go, but thanks very much for being with us, Cal. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I certainly hope you enjoyed our program with Cal Grunwald. And certainly I think that people have to realize that there really are very real problems in our society today. There are financial problems. And, of course, there are moral problems in our society as well. Because there's no instance in all history where a nation has turned against its bad against it's against God, and God has not eventually abandoned that society. And I really believe that unless people turn back to God, unless we have a revival in America, we're going to lose this country. Now, how can we reach people and make them understand what's going on? Well, I did write a book called The Brotherhood of Darkness some time ago, and it's already done pretty well. In fact, it's going to be going into its 8th reprinting, and we are actually reprinting the book. If any of you out there would be interested in getting a case of those books, that's a case of Brotherhood of Darkness. Why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927? That's 1-800-544-8927. You can get the details on that. Many of you may remember what we did before, and it certainly worked out very well. People were able actually to give away those books, and I know one fellow actually put them up on Amazon.com. He told me that they were gone within a few days. He had a whole case of them. And so if you're interested in getting a case of the Brotherhood of Darkness, which would really help us and would help you too, because it certainly would give you something that you could lend or give away and educate people. And the book, of course, is actually being moved all across America today. What a revelation it is for people to understand that there really are people who worshipped Lucifer, who worship Satan, who are working many times at the highest levels of government, working within our financial system, working certainly within our corporations, our gate tactics and foundations. There is a brotherhood of people who worship a different God, and that's the story. And if you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness, let me recommend it. Again, my telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you have not yet seen the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, it goes into the background of the fact that when America was initially founded, there was a group of men who came to America about 1640, about 20 years after the Pilgrims, and they actually were members of the Rosicrucian Society, and they were sent to America to take over control of our government and to use then eventually, sometime in the future, the military and financial power of America to bring the whole world into a world government. They were to push this concept of democracy. And if you don't understand that, it's all laid out in my newsletters, my December and January newsletters, which you can get on the internet at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. But there is, for 3,000 years, there's been a plan to bring democracies to the government of the world. And then, of course, about the world government. When they say democracy, they're really talking about tyranny. They understand that. The average individual doesn't, because they don't understand the history of democracy. We've got a great little pamphlet called We Are a Republic. But what you have to understand is that this secret society that was founded has continued working in America and today is in total control. You'll see the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And where it says on the back of the dollar bill, "In God We Trust," they never tell you what God they're talking about. They're not talking about the God of the Bible. Look at the emblem on the left. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Coming from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and, well, of course, the views of our callers. And we ordinarily welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, that's 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Jerry Guidetti from the ARC Institute, and Jerry, I know who you are. This afternoon we had a mix-up, and I introduced Lindsay Williams, and of course Jerry was the guest. So here this evening, I know it's Jerry Guidetti. How are you tonight, Jerry?
I'm doing great, and yes, it's a female voice. Were you surprised today when you heard a female voice respond?
Well, I just couldn't. I'd forgotten we had you on twice that day, and I thought
yes.
It was Lindsay the first hour, and I forgot who the second hour was.
Right.
And it was my fault because I didn't look at the schedule better. But anyway, why, you did such a great job, I'm sure everybody really appreciated. what you had to say. And, of course, Jerry is trained in genetic engineering. She's worked at a university level for many years. But in more recent years, she's been very concerned about what is happening as far as food is concerned, the fact that they're modifying our food. And when they began to change the genetic makeup, when they began to undo God's work and began to take a fish, gene and combine it with some sort of a cancer virus and put it into a tomato so the tomato won't freeze, well, we got real problems. And they've got all sorts of things they're doing out there. And this is why Jerry, of course, is dedicating her life now to warning people about the dangers of genetic food. And also she is very, very concerned about the possibility that we're going to see a change in the bird flu, this pandemic, epidemic of avian influenza that is sweeping the globe. And, of course, if it were to change and modify itself, it could just sweep across the country as the great influenza epidemic of 1918 did. And with that as the background, pick up the story there, Jerry.
Well, sure. Well, we have unfortunately seen so many of those changes already, Stan. We've seen several mutations now, a minimum of three. And when we looked at the genome of the 1918 pandemic virus, we see that it actually had 10 changes from the avian form to make it human. We have most of those similar changes done now, where the Russian Institute of Science, their virologist, their chief virologist 2 days ago, said that we have only one mutation to go. They have been surprisingly blunt and open about all of this information, more so than, say, China. As a matter of fact, we have none of the most recent genetic sequences out of the Chinese nation because, obviously, they keep everything close to the vest. There is an awful lot of information coming out of China underground, which says that they're epidemic is far greater than they are publicly noting. They have now had their, 12th death this morning of a 9-year-old girl of avian influenza. And they're saying that we're going to have a catastrophic spring, very possible. They're talking about their own country, of course, but they're looking also around the world. And Russia right now has the birds reintroducing it to South Russia. They have an epidemic going on right now.
Okay, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Jerry Guidetti of the ARC Institute. Well, Jerry, of course, is right on top of the cutting edge of what's going on. She, of course, sends me all sorts of news releases from all over the world as the pandemic continues spreading within the avian population. And, of course, the number of people getting this disease and dying is gradually increasing. So pick up the story there, Jerry.
Sure. We have a total of approximately 175 confirmed, WHO, World Health Organization, confirmed cases of human avian influenza, and out of those, 96 have died. That puts us up. Last time I did the math, it was about 55.8%. This is unheard of, I have to tell you. These kinds of numbers for a pandemic, at least in the history that we have been able to document, 1918, which probably was going around the world from maybe 1917 through 1919 in waves, that one had a final fatality rate of 2.6% is the most agreed upon number. If this one were to get this last mutation and circulate around the earth with anywhere near its current fatality rate, this would be something human race has never seen before, at least to our knowledge. And none of the medicine in the world, none of our modern techniques are going to do us a hill of beans of good because the numbers are just too staggering. What we're looking at is approximately 25 to 45% of the global population infected. And then of those, if you look at anywhere near 50%, and again, we're over 50% at this point, if we were looking at anywhere near that, you'd be talking about really reducing the global population substantially. In 1918, we had 1.5 1.6 billion people on the planet, and now we have 6.4, something like that, billion, the latest count I've seen. And we have 24-hour global travel. We have cars, trucks, and so on. These rapid methods of travel were not even existent in 1918 to take people around the world in 24 hours. And so now we have that added dilemma. How do you prevent a pandemic, which occurs, three of them occur every century, how do you prevent in modern times the rapid dispersal of this organism around the world? Probably the short answer is you don't. You try to slow it down. You try to eliminate global trade, but we are all so interdependent now. In fact, here in the United
States... Hold that stuff right there. Well, this is Arthur Stan. I was so interested in what Jerry was saying, I didn't pick up over the break coming. Go ahead, Jerry, and pick up the story from there.
Yes, we are now globally so interdependent, dependent on one another, especially in modern countries like ourselves, industrialized countries like the United States and Canada, for example. We unfortunately depend on everyone else to such a degree, importing so much of what we use. And a lot of folks don't realize that not only do we import all of our electronic gadgets, or many of them, and all of the other doodads that make our lives so comfortable and so advanced, but we also import about 80% of our prescription medicines. And yet you have China, who a long time ago stated that if they get complete human-to-human transmission, that they will shut down their borders. New Zealand has said the same. Australia has said the same. Europe has already begun, they kind of immediately shut their borders down to the imports of poultry, for example, over their borders where they're used to buying poultry all the time. Here in the United States, believe it or not, we're a huge poultry producer, but we have just agreed to accept Chinese poultry. I almost choked when I read that, given China's got bird flu and it's getting worse and worse.
But you know, Jerry, that really doesn't make any sense. Why would we take Chinese poultry knowing that they've got the avian flu over there and we don't have it in this country, unless, of course, there is another agenda on the part of our leaders. When something happens that's totally illogical, there is an explanation. It usually is just so beyond the realm that the average individual can't fathom it. It's like so many of the things that are going on today. They don't make sense unless there's another agenda.
Well, it's kind of like the port deal. The port deal was the same kind of thing that didn't make any sense at all, given we're learning that that particular nation, that particular country, was responsible for shipping electronic parts for triggers for nuclear weapons. And so you stop and look at this and you say, well, what could be the motivation? Well, the motivation is likely, bottom line, money, but also sweetheart deals to keep maybe China doing things like financing our enormous, ridiculous debt. We want to keep these treaties going, this global trade agreement and so on. We want to keep these going. And so we say, yeah, okay, if you're going to accept some of our goods, we have to accept some of yours. I think we could easily argue after yesterday's figures on the trade imbalance, the largest ever, it was historical, and it's mostly with China, that we really don't have to accept any more. if anything, they should be accepting more of our chicken to make up for all of their chickens being killed and culled as a result of their infection. So I do get very concerned when I hear of importing Chinese chicken. Now, I should say, before people panic, the chicken that is cooked and canned, the virus does not survive those temperatures. But I have to tell you, who would want it anyway? You know, the carcass of any sick animal has already begun different types of degradation and so on. I certainly wouldn't want it. Now, the USDA, I think some of the folks were tap dancing because they had no idea that our government had done that, but they were saying, well, surely there'll be certain standards that have to be met. Now, I don't know how big the public outcry was. I certainly know I made a big outcry after I heard that. But this is the kind of thing that's going on behind the scenes. We are, unfortunately, a huge debtor nation. We are the greatest debted nation in the entire world. And so we're looking for ways to make money and to please the people that are supporting us. And a lot of Americans don't like to think about things like that. But in fact, we are beggars, and we are being supported by all of these nations. For example, Japan, China are the biggest ones that are supporting us at this point. But I digress. Getting away from the big picture, which is the World Health Organization stated at their tabletop exercise that they did in Geneva when the big global financial conference was going on. That was about 3 weeks ago. They did a tabletop exercise while they had all the bigwigs there in Switzerland, and they decided to determine how it was as a world we were going to handle a human pandemic. And when they came away shaking their heads and saying, we were surprised at what we learned. We basically are not going to be able to worry about treating all of the people who are sick. What we must focus our resources on is maintaining infrastructure, maintaining trade, maintaining the food supply, maintaining the water supply and electricity. In other words, it's going to be the things, and it's going to be the infrastructure that delivers water and food to the living that they're going to place their money in. And this is why this just confirms what I have believed all along as a biologist. There's no stopping these types of pandemics. It would be nothing short of the hand of God that would turn this thing around. The only thing that we could do is delay it, slow it down, possibly by throwing Tamiflu blankets on it where it first arises. We could slow it down to the point where we could try to get people indoors, try to get people isolated, halt trade, and so on. You could hope to slow it down for days or weeks, or what a gift if we could slow it down for months. But the reality is they realize that the collateral damage to a society is going to be starvation, because you have to have farmers, you have to have operators of heavy machinery, you have to have people manning the food processing plants, you have to have truckers to deliver them. Those people all have to be healthy, and you're not going to have everyone healthy that you're used to having healthy. You're going to end up with maybe up to 50% of any culture home, sick, or caring for sick and dying at home. And it could be even worse than that. It could be so many people living in fear or quarantined by force in order to slow the thing down. So who's going to man the water plant and put the right amount of chlorine in to get the feces out of the water from the sewage plant that is dumped in upstream? Who's going to man the sewage treatment plant? Who is going to man the electric power plant? So when they had this tabletop exercise, and this has happened here also in the United States, they realized, my gosh, we are needing, well, maybe even volunteers to handle many of these jobs, and we are needing to put maybe military into these positions. And then when you think that this virus prefers young people and kills young people preferentially, as did the 1918 one, you realize we will probably be pressing a lot of our older people into service as volunteers, or worse, conscripting folks. This isn't off-the-wall thinking. This is stuff that has come out. This is stuff that has come on the table as possibilities, because we're looking at the potential here. For the very first time, we are looking at the development of a human pandemic as it's coming instead of after the fact, and we're saying, all right, what will we do if? So we at the Ark Institute, my focus has been, as you know, and have you have so nicely summarized, it has been on the global food supply, because as a genetic engineer, I was concerned about not only what we were doing to the seed in terms of putting in novel genes, creating novel proteins that bodies have not seen before. I am very concerned about the response of the immune system to novel proteins. Is it the reason why we have so much allergic asthma and it's exponentially increasing? Is it the reason why we have increases in cancer and immune immune disorders?
Autoimmune diseases.
Well, thank you. It's 9 o'clock. It's after 9 o'clock. Yes, this is the third program today. I'm feeling like it. At any rate, autoimmune responses are often directed at your own tissues, but often they come about because something's gone haywire in terms of how the body responds to other novel proteins or agents that enter the body. So I'm concerned about the entire issue of what we're doing to food and the seed that makes that food, but then I'm also concerned about the fact that the seed being genetically modified takes out of the hands of individuals the God-given right to feed themselves, because what we're doing is programming into seed a genetic program that makes it impossible for people to then save that seed and grow it again next year, making you 100% dependent upon industries, money-oriented industries. Often those industries are not even housed in this country, but are from other countries, and we are becoming dependent as a nation on what other people produce for us in the form of seed. What happens, Stan, if pandemic hits and we don't even have that seed available? What will people eat? How will we grow food? My answer is the heirlooms, the non-hybrids, the way we've been doing it, the way God's been doing it since creation.
And I say, I think that when man began to change God's handiwork and began to modify the DNA makeup of foods, we may be very soon seeing the rider of the pale horse. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we were talking about certainly this possibility of real famine in the world because of the genetically modified foods, and especially because they want to introduce the Terminator seeds. And then of course we're talking about the pestilence, we're talking about disease. And of course on many of our other programs we talk about war, and I recall so well that frightening story in Revelation 6:8, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed close behind, and power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword, and with hunger, and with pestilence, and with death. Now, pestilence being disease, and it depends on the translation you're using, but certainly many of them use pestilence, hunger, and of course, and the sword. And what we're really talking about is hunger, a worldwide famine. What Jerry is talking about is a worldwide pandemic. Are all of these things just happening at this time in history by accident, as it would appear that our government is preparing for a preemptive strike on Iran, because after all, the wicked Iranians are trying to get nuclear weapons, like the Chinese to their east, like the Pakistanis to their south, like the Russians to their north. In fact, why are we so worried about the Iranians developing enriched uranium? They're doing this in Brazil today. Nobody's worried about what's going on in Brazil. Nobody's talking about a preemptive strike on Brazil. Why aren't we talking about a preemptive strike on Brazil? They're a lot closer than Iran. But it seems that the focus of the entire world is on the Middle East today. Pick up the story there, Jerry.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there, and that is this insecurity in the Middle East is certainly adding to our general feeling of insecurity and also that feeling that the other shoe is going to drop. We have several things happening over in Iran. For example, on March 20th, that whole week, 20th to 26th, is going to be very important. But particularly, March 20th is the targeted date for when the Iranians are going to establish their own oil market, their own marketplace. It's called a bourse, like a stock market. Well, they're going to do it for oil, but the oil is going to be paid for. They're not going to accept dollars. It's going to be in euros. That is a global finance shattering event or changing event. And certainly the Europeans can't be too upset about this because it's in their dollar, not ours. But it really does mean that the U.S. dollar is going to take quite a hit. Now, hopefully this is priced into the market already, but it may not be. And there are all manner of predictions about what's going to happen in a couple of weeks in terms of global financial markets, our stock market, and so on. Well, with all of this insecurity, folks should already be very concerned about being able to take care of themselves if they were to lose a job, if they were to, for example, if we are to attack Iran, which it appears, and I think you're right, we're beginning to set the tone. We had Condoleezza Rice talking about it. We've had the Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld, talking about it. Everyone is talking about it. They're going on the main networks because they're making their case right now for why Iran is the biggest threat to the United States and why this is going to be necessary. Look for that rhetoric to increase over the next few days. I am very concerned that we, because of...
Hold that thought right there, sure. Jerry. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jerry Guidetti from the ARC Institute. Hi, Jerry. Go right ahead.
Well, I am. We were talking about Iran and upping the dialogue about why they are so dangerous to us and so on. And I fear with the change coming in the oil bourse in Iran this week and the fact that they're going to do this in euros, which is going to downgrade the dollar, according to most financial experts, or degrade, cause devaluation of the dollar, I am concerned that we are, as a nation, going to move forward and attack Iran. If indeed that's the case, I do have concerns about whether or not we are going to see an uptick in terrorist activity around the world and perhaps even on our shores. It's, you know, I don't say such things lightly. We have all been worried since 2001 about a repeat attack here on our soil. Surely, things aren't calming down any. Iraq is going to heck in a handbasket, so things are getting worse. Well, isn't it time that we stop living in a bubble, or is it a delusion as Americans thinking that each day we're going to wake up and we're going to have everything available that we need to live? When in fact, so much of what we need to live, witness the trade figures, come from overseas. If it wasn't the pandemic that's bad enough that seems to be coming, we're looking at this whole Middle East boiling pot, which stands a chance of blowing up and interfering with the shipment of oil and so on to this country. And everything we do, Stan, everything is dependent upon oil here. That's the bottom line. So it's important for people to realize that of all years that they have ever lived, with the exception perhaps of those who have lived through the Great Depression, this will be the year, I believe, that will be most comparable to those times, that are most challenging. And folks should be looking. Here we are facing spring. Spring is coming rapidly. We've got cold weather in various parts of the country yet, but other parts can already be planting. We have been encouraging people since 1996 to learn how to garden, to learn how to grow some of your own food, to use strictly non-hybrid seeds, to use non-genetically engineered seeds, and then most importantly, part of our mission here at the ARC Institute, we ask people to give away seed free as they multiply them, to give them away to people as gifts so that they can do the same thing, because our seed is special. It is seed that can be saved from year to year as nature intended for it to be done, in order to provide you with food for the rest of your life. And we ask people to do that and to give away seed. Don't sell it, give it away as gifts. You only need to get seed, buy seed one time, and then you're in a position to give gifts. As they used to give for generations, people gave gifts of seed to newlyweds, for example, because you were basically giving them food to feed themselves for the rest of their lives together. And what a beautiful, beautiful concept. What a beautiful gift to give. So we ask people to do that even if pandemic weren't coming. And today I should tell you, Stan, that the reason I've been on the phone much of today on the radio is because this morning out came a flurry of reports based on the UN and the World Health Organization's statements today that the U.S., the entire North American continent, will likely be receiving the pandemic, bird pandemic strain of H5N1, the deadly strain, within the next 6 months, if not before. And that we need here in North America to take the attitude that the human mutation and human form may happen any day now.
All right, fine. Well, let's before we go to the break, I want you to get out your website so people can go there.
Sure.
Because Jerry has this really so many fascinating articles and links to other articles. She's got so much about preparation and actually links to the government websites.
Yes.
There are some excellent government websites dealing with preparation. You're not going to hear about them. But go to Jerry's website, link to them. I pulled them down. It's amazingly how good the information is. And the average individual, of course, has no idea what the government is recommending. Jerry, what is the website?
All right, the website is ARK Institute.com, ARKInstitute.com, and our phone number is 1-800-255-1912. 1-800-255-1912.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Jerry Guidetti of the ARK Institute, ARKInstitute.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is Jerry Guidetti from the ARK Institute. Jerry, pick up the story there.
Sure. As a matter of fact, you did mention, Stan, about the government websites, and it's been a puzzle for me. I was really pleased to see that they had actually, our federal government, put in the brain time, the meeting time, and so on, to come up with some very good outlines for preparation. And at first I thought, okay, we had been promised, those of us who've asked the agencies, we had been promised that we would begin to hear a great deal about preparation in November. And November came and went. We heard a little news story here, a little news story there, but we did not hear anything about the need to prepare in earnest. And yet, if you go to the checklist for all of the different organizations, including schools, businesses, faith-based organizations, individuals and families, and so on, you find that they do tell you that you're needing to prepare to be quarantined, to be in your own home, and the quote is, extended period of time. Now, nobody wants to put a time on that. I will tell you what pandemics have done in the past. Each wave lasts anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. Now that is the past. That doesn't mean H5N1 or whatever final form a pandemic takes in this virus. It doesn't mean that it'll be exactly 6 to 8 weeks. It could be longer. It could be shorter. If it's shorter, it'll probably be because it is such an effective killer. viruses don't spread well if they're such effective killers, because they kill their victim too fast. The victim can't get around and spread it around. If it lasts longer, it's probably because the virus is somewhat weaker. Weaker is not a good thing for people. It means that you'll walk around with it for 3, 4, 5 days, spreading it happily at work, at school, wherever you go, on the bus, in planes, and whatever. And that's how a virus effectively can kill more people, a greater proportion of the population, even if its fatality rate goes down to, say, 25% or 10% even. The reason it kills so many millions more is because it's mobile. It's moving around with you, and it's infecting greater numbers of people. And so it happens in waves, and the waves are then separated by brief periods where the virus seems to have burned itself out, and it goes around the world again.
Hold that thought right there, Jerry. All right, our guest is Jerry Quadetti, and of course she's just talking about how the epidemic spread. But before we go on, one more time, I want you to get your telephone number and your website, and then we'll talk about the spread of the epidemic.
Sure. It's ARK, A-R-K, Institute.com, A-R-K as in Noah's Ark, ARKInstitute.com, and the phone number is 1-800-255-1912. At 1-800-255-1912.
And, of course, if you're interested in the heirloom seeds that Jerry offers, this is how you get them. But more than that, if you'd like information on the danger of the epidemic, the avian flu epidemic, she's got a lot of great information up on her website, and so much, many links to other things. And then she's, of course, got books on preparation. She's got books on how to plant seeds and how to save seeds and really what to do if suddenly we did not have ready access to the store. A lot of the ideas and thoughts that, you know, our forefathers knew, knew how to survive. They didn't have, you know, the grocery stores, the mega stores that we have today. But what would happen if suddenly those weren't available? So some of those books really would be so valuable to have on hand, and you hope you never need the information, but if you did, they'd be priceless. So pick the story up there, Jim.
Right. Well, I do want to tell folks that just today we've put up, I've asked my webmaster to put up a bunch of new links, because the information is now getting a little bit more condensed in certain areas. For example, there is a link to a continually updating news resource that comes out of the United Kingdom on all of the stories appearing globally in the press. So this thing, if you were to raise this website onto your computer and leave it there all day, every 5 minutes it rolls over and brings you new articles. You can just literally sample the world by going onto this website. I have put that up for everybody today so that they have it. They can hook to this site. The other thing we have is the CDC's site, all of the checklists for individuals, including your medical sheets for your family and what you need to write down on them. Now, that's kind of gruesome in a way, because basically what they're doing is they're trying to figure out how will they handle people who are sick inside their own homes if we can get people to go door to door to deliver any kind of advice or medicines or whatever. You're needing to have one of these sheets to hand to those medical personnel to say, okay, I am diabetic, or my husband who is dying here is diabetic. He needs insulin, he needs this, he needs that, and here's his sheet. I guess that's the thinking there, so that we have some kind of a record. But I think the thinking is also historical, after the fact, when people pass away. What is the cause of death, for example? And they do have next of kin on those sheets. These are things that you and I don't want to think about, none of us want to think about, but the experience in the 1918 pandemic was such that those who were told the truth in cities like San Francisco, for example, when the civilians were told the truth that this thing was bad, that it was coming, that it's going to hurt, that they may die. They handled it stoically. They took care of themselves. They quarantined themselves. Whereas in other cities where people were lied to and the truth was swept under the rug, as I'm sad to say we have been seeing some of up to this point, in those cases, people facing the unknown came up with a bunch of conspiracy theories. They thought the government was out to kill them. They thought this, they thought that. There were rampant stories in the press. I've read some of them. People come up with a lot of defensive kinds of ideas when they don't know the facts, when they don't know the truth. And what I have been trying to do since 2003, when I've gotten concerned about this, is try to bring just the facts out on what this thing looks like, what the history of pandemics are, why this is looking like it could be the next one, and why we have to start thinking defensively, wisely, calmly, and not to panic, but to prepare. Now we're looking at a situation where this is expected to be here on the paths, at least the bird form, within the next few months. They're talking about it being entrenched here probably through the summer and into the fall. We come up with that because it is in Nigeria now, that's in Western Africa. It has moved all across the European continent, all across the Middle East. We have a cluster of 11 family members in one household with it. So, two of those kids have already died today, by the way. That's in Azerbaijan. We're concerned it may have gone, again, inefficiently, person to person, within that family. Maybe more efficiently, we don't know. Now it's in Nigeria, and why is Nigeria important? It has spread south throughout Nigeria. It's probably in more of Western Africa. And the birds just beneath Nigeria pick up a flyway that goes directly to North America. It goes up to North America toward the Arctic. And then it comes on down into the country. And the same thing is happening over on the West Coast. It's coming up into Alaska, into those Arctic regions. Now, the United States generally does no more testing than approximately 15,000, that's 15,000 birds a year testing. We are now going to be increasing it this year to 75 to 100,000 birds. We're going to be testing alive and dead, looking for this thing. And I want to tell you, I just got data tonight. We have had so far, and we haven't tested that many birds, but so far, we don't have any H5N1 here in the United States. However, we did find H5N2 in a single bird. Now, we have H5N1 up in Canada. Birds don't see the boundaries between countries. Those are political boundaries, nothing more. So the birds are flying back and forth. The fact that the birds are not dying tells us that if they're carrying the lethal form, the mutated form from Asia, it hasn't hit the right birds yet to kill them. We know that generally the birds can carry these asymptomatically, but recently in Asia, the birds have been dying, and now they're dying all across Europe, Middle East, Nigeria, every place. So when the mutation occurs in H5N1 here in North America, or when the new lethal variety arrives on these flyways as part of the normal migration, then the danger dramatically increases for human beings being exposed not only to wild birds, but also to poultry, which is where it seems to move next, into poultry from wild birds. So it's very important then that we begin to practice very, very good hygiene. You can eat cooked chicken. You don't want to prepare an infected bird yourself. You don't want to pluck poultry, wild birds and so on, ducks, turkeys, wild turkey, when this thing is here in this country. So you'll be hearing more of this as time goes on. But to tell you the truth, Stan, I am much more concerned about whether or not the final mutation is going to occur in China or Indonesia tomorrow afternoon and arrive on a plane in Seattle or L.A. Because then all bets are off, and we've got a bigger problem than birds. It will then be a human bug, and then we have to deal with it just as we do with the common cold or influenza, those kinds of protective mechanisms, except we have nothing against this one, and it's so severe that it's killing over 50% of its victims. So that's why we would like to see people start looking at having their own water supplies, because we're not going to be assured of it, having their own means of purifying water if the water treatment plants are understaffed and we can't get chlorine from overseas to chlorinate it to kill fecal coliform organisms. We want people to get food into their homes, and just like storing water, you can only store so much food. We ask you to please plan a garden this year. Plan a garden with non-hybrid seeds and get growing. This is the year, even if you only have pots and bags of soil to plant in because you live in an apartment, start growing things, get used to raising some of your own food again, and by all means, take preparation seriously now. We have grouped things together. You'll see on the website how to take care of yourself. We have a group of pandemic products, for example, masks and things like that, all in one package. You can find for free to download a whole manual written by Dr. Grattan Woodson. Download it. Click on it. It tells you how to take care of sick and even dying people in your own home. And my wish for you and everyone listening is that you never have to do any of this. But this is irreplaceable information. Your government has already said, do not expect help from the top. You're on your own. Your community's on its own. Secretary Leavitt's coming state by state, telling you that. I think he's in South Dakota today. State by state to tell you, don't expect the federal government to help you here. We have nothing. That's the bottom line. We have 105 mechanical ventilators in the entire United States. We use 80% of them every single day.
Yeah, you meant 105,000.
1,000. Is that what I said?
No, you said 105.
See? Told you. It's after 9 o'clock.
All right, 105,000
ventilators. 105,000.
And, of course, if you get this pneumonia, why you need that respirator. If they don't have respirators, we're in real trouble.
Yes, and that's what this goes. This goes to acute respiratory distress syndrome, ARDS, and you need to have then these ventilators. And unfortunately, there aren't going to be any past the first few lucky victims, and I use that term loosely, the first few lucky victims who get to use the ventilators, and some of them will be saved, some of them will not be saved. But without the ventilators and without the drugs, we don't have enough Tamiflu to even begin to treat the people in the United States. They're pumping it out as fast as they can, and that'll just lessen the symptoms, perhaps save some lives, but one course of 10 pills doesn't look like it's going to be enough, so that means we have even less Tamiflu than we thought before, about 1-2% of our population. Do the numbers. It's a ridiculously small amount, between 2 and 3 million people, and it's all going to go to first responders. Here's a hint of things to come. Truckers in Florida, Trucking Association, have begun to get together to talk about how they're going to keep the food flowing. And they have already requested from the government that they could be considered first responders and be some of the first on the list to get Tamiflu or any vaccines that might be developed. And the reality is, they're probably not going to be looked at as first responders because we don't even have enough Tamiflu for all of the truckers in the United States. So there you go. There goes your trucking supply.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-866-472-9595. We only have a few minutes more with Jerry, so if you'd like to call in, go ahead. And otherwise, Jerry, pick up the story. You're telling us about the truckers and, of course, the situation as far as Tamiflu. And, you know, the Tamiflu may be some help, but I've read the material on it, and there's certainly no guarantee that this is going to cure anybody. It may help to alleviate the symptoms, and maybe it'll save some lives. We really don't know.
That's right. Tamiflu is not a cure. Tamiflu will alleviate the symptoms. It's a neuraminidase inhibitor, and you've got spikes on the outside of the virus. You have the hemagglutinin spikes, which help a virus to inject its information. It binds the or docks the virus with the epithelial cells, and it allows it to inject its nucleic acid, ribonucleic acid, or RNA into the cell. Then it takes over the machinery of the cell, reproduces itself, and clones itself, and then it has to get out using neuraminidase, which is another spike on the outside of these little viruses. The Tamiflu prevents these things from hatching out of the cell again and going on to infect more and more cells. You're still infected, but you're interfering with the replication of the virus by not allowing these clones out to get into other cells. We have other things. For example, I do want to tell you that there's a fabulous new study that came out of UCLA Medical School. I saw it just yesterday. It is on curcumin, which is part of curry powder. The spice turmeric has curcumin in it, and it is actually an inhibitor of viruses, and so this is something for folks to think about. I think we have put that article up on our website. If not, I'll make sure that Kristen does it tomorrow to get that up too. But you might want to think of these kinds of natural antiviral compounds. This one happens to be something that is very well researched, very good science, and it is a natural thing. If you like curried rice, for example, this is something that appears to be very antiviral and may indeed work to help you survive this thing.
All right, fine. So this would be the curry powder curcumin, is that what you call it?
Yes, correct.
All right, fine. And, Jim had called from Santa Cruz and wanted to confirm that Jerry had said that Iran will start only accepting euros next week. Actually, it's going to be on the 20th of this month, Jim.
Correct.
But it's the 20th of this month, and that is known as the Brous or Bruce, the Iranian Brous.
Bruce.
So that's the background there. So this is going to be an exciting month, because what this is a direct attack on the American dollar.
Yes.
And how will the United States respond to that? Is that the real reason that the President and the Secretary of State want to get this thing before the United Nations? Are we really concerned about Iran having nuclear weapons? Are we really concerned about the Brous? Or is there an organized effort to bring about World War III for an entirely different reason than the average person suspects? Be that as it may, the dollar is going to come under increasing attack later this month. So go ahead, pick up the story, Jay.
Sure. So, yes, if you want to look at the convergence of many stressors at this time, I would say this is the time. And I would encourage people to avail themselves of the free information that you can find on the Internet, including our government's own sites that we have on the ARC site to make it convenient for you. Go to ARCinstitute.com or 1-800-255-1912, and we can help you out with a lot of that information.
And, of course, it's not a bad idea to have those heirloom seeds on hand and even thinking about learning how to plant your own food.
Absolutely.
Because the unthinkable dream. If suddenly there was a shortage of food, and what's it been the breadbasket of the world? But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're entering into some very, very dangerous times. Well, Jerry, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I guess you've just kind of wrapped up my thoughts, actually, there, Stan, and that is, I think that people need now, if they haven't taken it seriously before, even if they believe, and some of your callers have contacted me, even if you believe that this bird flu was a conspiracy. I can tell you that unless you're suicidal as a government or as an agent, you wouldn't let this thing out because you can't control it once you let it out. It changes. Like every 20 minutes, you get mutations. So there's just no way you can control a beast like this. But be that as it may, if you believe that all of it is a conspiracy or that people are trying to incite fear, da-da-da-da, all of those theories, I will respect that. Go ahead and believe it. That's what a lot of people believed in 1918, too. It's when we don't understand the whole big picture or see the big picture unfolding. And unfortunately, the big picture is nature. The way God made this creation, nature has three pandemics every century on average. We have not had one since 1968. We are due. We are actually overdue. And the way we live contributes to that. And unfortunately, many of us aren't very healthy because of the way we live. And we're kind of easy picking for this virus. And there are so many more of us, about five times more than there were in 1918. So it's very easy for a virus with high speedy travel and so many of us to spread around the world. We have an opportunity here in the United States. We're the last ones to get it. I would really pray that everybody would take seriously preparations for themselves and their families, regardless of their political beliefs or conspiracy beliefs, and take care of your family and start getting in supplies. Be able to purify your own water. Be able to get the knowledge for that. You'll find a bunch of that stuff posted on our site. Be able to plant your own seeds and eat. If you don't have supplies readily available in your stores for 2-3 weeks at a time, maybe, God forbid, 2-3 months at a time, remember Katrina. Remember what those people faced, how long they were without food, how long they waited. And then remember this. It will be much worse because Katrina was only 3 states. There were 47 others to serve them. This is going to happen everywhere, all at once, if it goes human to human. In pockets all over, thousands of red spots all over this country.
Hey, we're out of time, Jerry. God bless you.
God bless you,
good
too.
Good night. We'll talk to you later.
All righty.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our plea to you is make preparations. I do not know whether we're going to have a pandemic, whether we're going to have a financial collapse, whether we're going to have a nuclear attack, but I do know that we're in for some very difficult times because there is no time and no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not withdrawn his protection from that nation. And just look at, see the filth that's on the television. Note that Brokeback Mountain got several Oscar awards, really sort of almost like putting a finger into God's eye. You know, this is something he's always preached against. His word tells us how wrong homosexuality is. And so, you know, what we're doing in this country with abortion, with the attitudes of our courts, with total moral breakdown in our society, I believe God is going to bring his judgment on this nation. So make your preparations. Make sure you're prepared spiritually and physically and economically and financially for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like information on water purification, why, certainly our website at RadioLiberty.com has a great deal of information. If you want to explain to people about the spiritual aspect of what's going on, let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. If you're interested in getting an entire case of the Brotherhood of Darkness, as we did a year and a half ago, an amazing opportunity to get other books, certainly almost at cost, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, you'll be helping us, but you'll have a very effective weapon to reach others with a message that may very save their lives and save their souls. Remember, of course, the case of Brotherhood of Darkness, 64 books in the case. If you're interested in knowing more about that, a unique opportunity, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly ask you to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family. That's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours a day by radio, by internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, 9 hours a day on satellite. But, of course, it's a difficult thing to maintain, especially since I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon. I do this because I want to sound a voice, because we're told in Ezekiel 3 and again in Ezekiel 33 that we are to be the watchman on the wall and sound the alarm. The enemy is coming. The enemy is upon us. And if we sound the alarm and people don't listen, then their blood is on their hands. If we do not sound the alarm, then their blood is on our hands. So if you'd like to, of course, help us in what we do. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We've told you in the past about this wonderful new DVD. It's entitled The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and it goes to the influence of the secret societies in America and the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, that emblem that represents the ancient mystery religions and their plan for world democracy, and, of course, the world government and the New World Religion. If you haven't seen my video, A World Revolution, it contains my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, did back in 1980. He was the ambassador to Cuba. He'll tell you how the American State Department intentionally brought a well-known communist to power in Cuba. And then, of course, on my DVD, The Brotherhood of Darkness, pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Our website, radioliberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.